Hello and welcome to the first of the Care Audio series for the new year, that being 2020. My name is Matthew McKenzie and these audios or podcasts, if you will, are aimed at providing educational information and uplifting self-help support to unpaid carers, especially carers looking after someone with a mental illness. Now, as usual, the audio is split into two sections. The first being more educational and the second more uplifting and therapeutic, mainly because I feel carers do not often get much therapeutic support, let alone peer carer support. Since a lot of the peer support, I would say, is aimed at those with lived experiences. So what shall be the topic of this audio? Well, it is a very common topic which affects many unpaid carers or caregivers around the world. The topic is actually on dealing with depression as a carer. And to be honest, there may have been some hints from the previous 15 audio files that I've already done. Now, I just cannot imagine an unpaid carer not having some experiences of depression through their caring journey, although some will have more exposure to depression more than other unpaid carers. So not all carers are alike depending on what they're dealing with or who they're looking after. So let's take a closer look at why depression should unfortunately hit unpaid carers. Now, this is the educational section that I'm moving on to. So I think what I'll do is I'm going to go through what is depression in a fairly, I'd say, basic terms, and then relate that onto how the pressure of caring can impact the levels of depression one can experience. Unfortunately, caring for someone is not always a bed of roses, which is why I felt I should cover such an important topic. Now, a good example of depression is, let's say persistently feeling sad and down for a certain period of time. And I could be saying like weeks or months at a time. So we could say someone's been feeling really low, really sad for such a long length of time. Now, although I feel this tends to happen if someone has not notice the first signs of depression and thus has let it continue on, and you know, it's not easy to notice, you know, it's a very slow, I would say, a slow occurring thing. You don't notice straight away. But why would a carer experience this? Why would they be in a situation where they would be feeling persistently sad or down for several weeks or months at a time? Well, basically, first off, if the caring situation that they were trying to cope with goes from crisis to crisis, hence the cares for situation, or let's say their health is getting worse, then the carer is obviously going to become feeling low. And it might not always be low for that moment in time. The next day, they might be more uplifted. They might be a bit more happier. But then it could spiral. So the next day they're feeling lower, and then they feel a little bit happier. Then they feel even more lower when the next crisis hits, and then they feel lower and feel more sad and depressed. And it just spirals down to constant depression. And a carer will spend, let's say, so much time picking up the pieces that they will often neglect or forget their own health and well-being, especially when things go wrong. Be it for the cared for, who might not be responsive to the carer's action. So when sadness drags on for too long at a time, it can be difficult and a dangerous situation for carers, because it's definitely will lead to mental health issues. So that's just one example. I'm going to try and cover a few more, just so I can try and educate unpaid carers on the dangers of depression. Now, the next bit, sometimes if not often, depression can lead to physical symptoms if not dealt with soon enough. And I will cover that later on dealing with depression. But unfortunately, as we all know now, mental health is something that is taken seriously nowadays. I know in the past, a lot of health professionals would ignore or feel that mental health doesn't even exist. But we now know that it's tied to physical health as well. And it's not always all mental, and it's not always just the depression. It can cause carers to, you know, feel tired all the time. Like they're not even getting any sleep, or they have poor sleep. And again, this can lead to another spiral of the carer not being able to carry out their role, their caring duties, which again will cause them to lose more sleep as they desperately try and catch up on what they're trying to do, but they're too tired. And then this leads on to them, to the carer becoming more prone to picking up illnesses like colds or flus or severe headaches as their immune system takes a battering. Another common situation carers can experience, and this is quite serious, unfortunately, is feeling worthless, or I'd say feeling guilty constantly for quite a while. And this is one of the symptoms of actually depression. You know, those who are, if you're not a carer, this is the sort of thought, feeling worthless and feeling guilty about your situation, that can happen to those who suffer from depression. But then why would an unpaid carer feel this way? So let's have a look at that. Basically, it is not unknown that carers have to battle to, let's say, get their loved ones access to treatment. It is not unknown, especially for those caring along the lines of mental health, which it could be one of the worst situations, when the cared for is unfortunately sectioned due to non-compliance with mental health treatment. And unfortunately, it's not unknown for the care for, you know, for the cared for to lash out and blame the carer, whether the service user or the patient is unwell or not. The carer will get the worst of it. Now, I'll go on into that in later episodes, but I just want to cover why the carer would feel worthless or guilty about the situation. Now, to continue, it's as if the carer is, looking out for someone, for that special person in their life. But unfortunately, the carer will not risk, any person worth their salt will not risk that the cared for becoming completely unwell, which unfortunately is to the carer, feeling guilty of, what they have to do, which is a catch-22 situation. If you're a carer, you're not going to stand by and let either your mother or your daughter or your son become relapse into mental illness. You want to act as soon as possible, and there's only a certain amount of time before you will say, look, enough is enough. They need access to mental health treatment. Now, anyone who is suffering mental illness, they're not always going to access services, because unfortunately they might not have the foresight to do this. They might, I don't want to put this in a derogatory term, but they might lack the capacity to know what sort of help they need, and thus the carer, the unpaid carer, will have to step in. So okay, with that, that is only just one example, I suppose, as why an unpaid carer or caregiver would turn around and say, look, I've really put my loved one or my cared for into a situation that they're not happy in, and they're blaming me. But unfortunately, they just don't know what else to do. Now, continue. Did I mention before that about the pressure performing carer duties? Well, carers can also have a hard time focusing or remembering things, or even making decisions if depression hits them hard, which certainly can cause carers to struggle in providing care. So this is again another symptom of depression. When someone is suffering under depression, they will have a hard time focusing. The mind will wander, and it'll be really difficult for them to focus on anything. They can't remember as much as they used to. I'll cover a few more. I mean, another sign of depression And I'm sorry if this is a really dark subject, but I do feel, you know, a little bit of education can go a long way, and it needs to be talked about. It needs to be raised. But another signs of depression that can affect carers, can cause carers to think about death or suicide. Now, this is when carers should really start thinking about getting that support if it was not offered. Now, of course, some people, you know, they can think about death. It might not mean they're depressed, but constantly focusing on the matter of death or suicide could definitely be a sign of depression. And to be honest, it could mean that the carer just cannot find a way out of a situation and is not getting any support about that, whether they're trying to access support or the support is not being given or his support is not even available. And it might not be for just for the carer, but for the cared for. So a good cause of this is if the cared for, let's say, cannot get access to mental health services, leaving the carer to do their best out of a bad situation. If I just move on, other signs of depression is, I think the next one would be, if I can remember, although it's not depression itself, I think it's more of a result or the effect of depression, and that would be down to bad coping mechanisms. Now, this could mean the carer perhaps could become more stigmatized about being depressed. They might realize it, but they just want a quick way to resolve those awful feelings of sadness, feeling low, regrets, feeling guilty. And thus they look for ways to cope. Now, this could be overeating, could be not eating as much as they should, could be eating unhealthily. It could be coping through addictions, alcohol. It could even lead, unfortunately, I've seen it myself, self-harming as a way of even expression or coping. Other signs of depression is also, I say, losing pleasure in things, losing pleasure in life. And as mentioned before, you know, it comes along with feeling sad, feeling anxious, not as about sadness, feeling anxious as well, and feeling empty inside. Now, if I move on to how, and I'll mention some organizations on how they're trying to tackle this dilemma, this situation, we have, and I will mention the Royal College of General Practitioners, or I'd for short be the RCGP. Now, looking around, I noticed back in 2013, they stated that about 40% of carers are thought to be at risk of depression or stress because of their caring role. And back then, Dr. Claire Gerada, who was the chair of the RCGP, or College of General Practitioners, you know, she felt carers are a very high risk group, and that carers should be routinely screened for signs of depression, especially by the GP, to ensure their health needs are not neglected. And this was not just by hers. Many doctors were feeling this as well, and I'm sure they still do, and that's why I wanted to raise this in this audio. I think doctors play a key role, or they should definitely play a key role in identifying carers, not just identifying carers, but identifying those who are in at a very high risk of serious health issues, because what I don't want to hear, or what I don't want to see, is the carer becoming the next patient, which allows, unfortunately, for the GP to become tied down to focusing on supporting more and more patients, which is a situation we want to avoid. We all want to avoid this. But with all those issues that I've mentioned before, is it any wonder why carers are a high risk group for depression, leading to mental illness? So what's the good news? Despite the, you know, the pressures on services, GPs, patients, and the carers, well, there are ways to cope, and it's not a magic solution or an overnight fix, but it's better than nothing. So coping with depression is, you know, my view is it's always important to educate oneself. Hence, you know, the reason for this audio is education, but it's even more important to seek help. You know, and I agree, it's never easy to spot the signs that carers are becoming depressed or that you are becoming depressed until you're knee deep in that experience. Let me throw up a national organisation that I usually mention in my previous audios, Carers UK. And I'll mention again, they're a national carers charity that fights on behalf of unpaid carers. Now, they report that talking to other people who are in a similar situation can be a great help when carers are feeling stressed or depressed. Now, not everyone finds this easy, but it may be a surprise to find that others feel the same way that the carer is or that the carer is going through. As a carer myself, I cannot advocate this strongly enough. It is important to access your local care centre and talk to those who are also going through that difficult role that you might be going through if you're a carer. And this is one of the very reasons why, you know, I'm creating care peer support groups in this year around South London at carer centres. And I urge any carer listening to this audio to access those groups, access those carer support groups, access those peer carer support groups. Or if you're a health professional listening, use this new term, so prescribing, to get carers to access such groups if you can identify those carers. Now, talking about health professionals, I also ask carers that if feeling low for a long length of time, to at least see a doctor, you know, about depression, if they're feeling really depressed. You know, they're the experts, to be honest, and they will seek to support what you can get from the GP surgery. You know, take note what the RCGP, the Royal College of General Practitioners, mentioned back in 2013. I'm sure there's more recent evidence in regards to carers and depression from the Royal College of General Practitioners. And to be honest, it was mentioned back then that doctors or GP surgery should really have a carers register to identify that you are a carer and that you are in a high risk group. Now, due to the time, because I might talk forever, if anyone lets me, that is, I want to now move on to the uplifting section of the audio. If you are a carer listening, please stay with me, as this is another way of dealing with depression. Starting in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. My friend, fellow carer, you are not a stranger to our caring profession. Welcome. Whether you have been caring for a very long time or just new to the role, welcome. I thank you for taking the time to understand the difficult situations like what we both go through day in, day out, and onwards almost every day. You as a carer are doing your best in a situation many would look at, think twice, and most probably walk away. But you won't. We both know and understand that carers such as myself and yourself should not have to patiently and silently suffer while we fight hard to see that person we love get support. Unfortunately, carers are not robots. In order to sound lame, we're not, you know, we're human beings and not human doing. Doing so much for the cared for, picking up the pieces, advocating, pressing for support, or pressing for support from whoever is responsible. As a veteran carer, if you're going through what I have mentioned, think about getting that much needed support for yourself? Why should you have to pay or suffer because services are struggling, which we all know that they are? Why should you have to fall deep into depression because GP surgeries are struggling? Because we all know they are. Too long, carers have been that high risk group. How long should this have to continue? Will you be that number, that statistic, that person that decided to fall into deep depression, walk away from that caring, or worse, take their life? No, not any more. Not you. You do not deserve this. And it's not your fault. And I understand you have tried and you are still trying. I like to say, if no one has ever told you this in the health service, GP surgery, hospital, or even in the realm of social work, you know, I'm going to say it. I'm proud of you. I just want you to be proud of yourself. Get that help if you need it. You have been listening to Matthew McKenzie, a carer of many years, running now free audio sessions to support the carer peer support groups that I'll be running this year. Please spread the word and good luck in your caring journey. Thank you for listening.